The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Very good today.
Today we have Eric Butler, who is no stranger to our program. You were here several years ago. Eric is the operations manager of Butler Septic Services out of Jefferson Township. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for having us.
We are here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been appraising, selling, and listing real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, check the live Dunmore Corners webcam and see what's going on at the corners. You can check out the weather or the traffic or just see what's going on.
Check us out on YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. View our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is also mobile friendly. Eric Butler, operations manager of Butler Septic Services out of Jefferson Township. How long have you been doing what you do, please?
We've been running this one since 1996.
Your father, Homer, started the business?
Yep.
Okay. And he's still part of the business?
Yes, he is. He takes care of mainly the real estate inspections.
Okay. How far do you go?
We cover the high northeast tier and the lower tri-state area.
Okay, so there's a lot of septic systems out there for you to service and inspect.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, what is a septic system, pretty much?
A septic system is how a dwelling handles and treats the water that they use inside the home. There's always a basic filtration compartment that'll catch all the solids and catch all the garbages, and then it'll leave the clearest water possible to go over into the soil, where the soil treats that water and turns into clean water before it's gained back into the water table again.
Okay, my dad lives down in the Rockaways in Breezy Point, and they don't have sewers down there. They just have these big rings that they put in the ground. What's the difference between a cesspool and a septic?
A cesspool is set up where there's a line going into the system, and sometimes there'll be seepage pits, sometimes there'll be stacked stones, but the purpose of that unit is to try to contain the solid matter inside that ring and allow the water to dissipate through the sidewalls of that ring or of the stone line cesspool so that the soil can treat and clarify the water. So the difference with a cesspool and a septic system is that cesspools don't have a filtration compartment before the drain field area. A cesspool has to try to hold the solids inside that cylinder area and allow the water to escape between the breach points that are on the sidewalls of the unit.
Yeah, and it's a sandy area down there, so that's the way they've
been
doing it.
They're good for drainage.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here, for our purposes in the Northeast, we have, you know, down here in the city folk, mostly, but not all, residents have public sewer systems. But there are, from time to time, houses that could not connect to a public system and that they do have an on-site system. It's not necessarily a septic system, though, right? There could be a holding tank. There can be a borehole.
Oh. Well, yeah. There's probably one or two of them still hanging around in Scranton, but there are cesspools and there are septic systems that are located throughout the city area where, like you said, they had a hard time doing their hookups or the home was down over a hill or for any reason.
But the majority of the city properties do have the public system connected, but there are, from time to time, we come across in real estate in Troop and Dunmore and Scranton where there is an on-site system. So, you know, if it's an older system, what do we need to know about that type of system? Is it usually a metal holding tank, a concrete holding tank, a plastic holding tank? What's
the age of the home. If the system has been maintained and operated properly, the age of the home really doesn't make the major factor. I mean, of course, if the home was put in the 50s or 60s, they're more apt to have like a cesspool type system if the system's never been upgraded than what your newer homes are going to have. Your homes that were installed in the late 60s to late 70s, they have the possibility of having metal septic tanks, which most of your metal septic tanks that you come across nowadays are not in the best of shape, where they could use to be replaced by a concrete or a polyethylene. But as long as the system's been maintained properly and used properly throughout its life, the age of the system itself really doesn't make such an impact on the quality of the system.
Are all septic systems equal?
No.
Okay. So today's septic system that you would install for a new construction, a new property, would be a lot different than one that was installed in the 70s or 80s?
Yeah, comparably different.
Based on what's different? The materials, the size, the drain field?
The materials, the size, the construction of the system. 95% of your newer homes are going to require a sand mound be installed. The only way that you can install an in-ground drain field nowadays is if when they come in and they do, when you go to build a home, the first thing that they do is they do a pit test and a perk test. The pit tells you how much usable soil you have in that area, and then the perk test says at what rate the ground can accept the water. If you do have an area that has over 48 inches of good soil, then they're still allowed to install an in-ground drain field today. But unfortunately, in our area, the soils aren't the most cooperative. So in most situations, you're dealing with like 20 to 30 inches of good soil, which requires a sand mound to be installed.
So most systems today have a sand mound.
Correct.
All right.
What is a sand mound?
A sand mound is almost an artificial filtration that they install above the earth's soil. A sand mound is majorly made up of sand, which as the water passes through the sand will pick up any physical substances that are in that water before that water hits the earth's soil, where it can be easier clarified.
So most systems today are sand mound. What if somebody doesn't like the look of a sand mound or doesn't want to give up that yard space? There's no alternative?
They do have alternative systems, but they do sometimes run into a tremendous more of an investment than what your conventional sand mound does. A lot of times it's better if they could try to test the land in an area that they find more suitable or an area that they might be able to build the sand mound into the grade of the land a little bit better so that's not sticking out so much and being such an eyesore.
And if you don't have acreage or a large lot, the sand mound is pretty much going to eat up most of your rear yard space.
Yeah, if you have a small front or backyard, I mean, if it's a small cleared property, then yeah, the sand mound is going to take up a good amount of it.
Okay. How often should a homeowner test or inspect a septic system?
Systems are supposed to be serviced every 2 to 5 years, depending on use. Every 2 years, if you have like 4 people living in the home, and every 5 years, if you have 1 person or a vacation residence or anything along those lines where the system's not getting as much use as other systems.
So when you say service, what do you mean by that?
Usually it's better if you pump the tank out every 5 years. Even if it doesn't absolutely need it, as far as the amount of solids inside that tank, the other thing that you're getting is the inspection. They're checking out the inlet and outlet baffle inside the tank, which are major components that help to control the solids inside the tank. If either one of the baffles are missing, the tank cannot catch the solids properly. It allows the solids to be passed through the tank, go over into the drain field, and it'll begin to plug the drain field up. So if you have a certified company at a maximum of every 5 years, come in, empty out the tank, take a look at the drain field, take a look at the tank, take a look at the components of the system. It's going to increase the life of the system dramatically.
So every 5 years at a maximum.
Yep.
That don't go longer than 5 years.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Some homes, like say they have a 1,000-gallon tank and they have 6-7 people living in the house. Some of those homes have to pump the tank every year.
Okay. So if you have a larger home and more occupants, you're going to be pumping out a tank more frequently than a smaller home with less occupants.
Correct.
All right. How about number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms?
The number of bathrooms really doesn't come into play so much. If you have a 3-bedroom home and you have 1 bathroom, you have the members of that 3-bedroom home using that 1 bathroom. If you have a 3-bedroom home and you have 10 bathrooms, you still have those number of occupants using that many bathrooms. And that's why when the state goes to design a system, they go more by the bedrooms than what they do going by the bathrooms.
So how many people can actually physically occupy a property rather than the number of bathrooms?
Correct.
All right. So what are some signs that things aren't operating correctly with the septic system?
Green grass on the sand mound.
Absolutely.
Nice green grass yep. where everything else is brown. And you got a nice, beautiful green patch of grass.
Yep. The customers say that all the time. They say, no, my drain field works great. Look how green the grass grows on top of it. And
wait, that's a problem.
They cut back the trees so that the sun can come and evaporate the water off the top of the drain field. And no, that's not a good thing either. You know, the sun's not supposed to evaporate the water off the top of the drain field.
All right. So what's a problem sign that you would look for besides green grass?
Like you mentioned, I mean, that's the number one, is looking for lush vegetation, looking for the landscape of the property to be changing right there where the area of the drain field is. If you catch those signs early enough, there are things that you could do that are economical to clean that soil back up again and get the property to start draining well again. The other thing, like I said, most preventative is just observing inside the tank. If you have that tank pumped every couple of years, they should be looking at what the water level is in the tank, what the content is inside the tank, and just ensuring that that tank is catching the garbages properly and that the tank is maintaining its water level.
You know, there's a lot of people I come across. There's some properties I've listed along the way, and I'll add one of the questions on the seller's disclosure is, when was the septic tank last serviced? And unknown, and they've owned it for a really long time. So, to me, that's a red flag.
Yes.
And a lot of times there might be a situation where the occupants are no longer speaking to one another, maybe a divorce situation, or it's an estate and the people left behind really don't know very much about when things were serviced and what condition things are. So they don't live in the property. They do not reside there. So they unfortunately don't know. So having someone qualified to inspect the property, a lot of home inspectors come out and do a septic test by pouring some granulated powder down a toilet, down a faucet. Is that good enough?
No. A lot of them, they'll introduce that, they'll call it a dye test. For starters, there is no such thing as a dye test. Dye is a tool, it is not a test. If you see effluent coming to surface and you believe that that effluent is related to the septic system, then you introduce dye, you feed the water. If the dye comes to surface, now you know that those two are related. You know that's definitely effluent coming to surface, and you know there's definitely an issue with it. If you can take a home that's been vacant for 5 years and it can have a rusted out metal septic tank with no baffles that's ready to cave in and a drain field that can't handle any water, you put a little bit of dye down there and you introduce a couple hundred gallon of water, just because dye doesn't come to surface isn't telling you that you have a capable tank. It's not telling you the solid matter inside the tank. It's not telling you anything about the system.
Right. So calling someone that specializes in septic systems, such as Butler Septic Services, would be the best course of action for a potential purchaser.
Yeah, it's definitely going to protect you a lot more, and you're going to know exactly what's there and what the capabilities of it are.
How do we get in touch with you, Eric Butler?
You can reach us on two different lines. We have our toll-free 1-888-873-9243, and our local line is 570-689-2952, or you can send any questions or anything that you have to our email at butlerfamilycompanies@outlook.com.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Butler, Operations Manager of Butler Septic Services. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a modern 3-bedroom, 2-bath home located at 1517 South Webster Avenue in Scranton for only $66,000. This lovely home has nice size rooms, updated baths, 200 amp electrical service, a dishwasher, and gas heat. It also has a rear deck, fenced in yard, and plenty of off-street parking. You can live here for less than you are paying for rent. That's a modern 3-bedroom, 2-bath home at 1517 South Webster Avenue in Scranton for only $66,000. And that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And I have the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors multi-list statistics. How did 2015 compare with 2014? And this is on residential, land, commercial, and multifamily sales in all the counties that we serve. The number of sold listings in 2015 was higher, 3% higher than in 2014, but the dollar volume of sold listings in 2015 was less, 4% less than in 2014. The median sales price was unchanged from 2014 and 2015. It was the same, $115,000. The median list price jumped up a little bit in 2015 by 4%. It went from $119,900 in 2014 to $124,900 in 2015. And the number of new listings we saw in 2015 was 37% less than in 2014. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Grady Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jruddy.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
Good morning again.
Good morning again. With us today is Eric Butler, Operations Manager from Butler Septic Services out of Jefferson Township. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are in a family-run business. Homer, your father, started the business, is still very active in it. He does a lot of inspections on septic systems, and you're managing the day-to-day operations of Butler Septic Services. And even your wife is involved, right?
Yep.
All right. You've been doing it since 1996, right?
Correct.
All right. And you do the northern tier of the state?
Yes.
All right. That's where you go, far and wide. And you know everything there is to know about septic systems, right?
Pretty much.
All right. And they're not all the same. We determined that in the first half of the show. We talked about that they're not all the same. They're not all equal. Older systems aren't built like today's systems. And they change the material. These days, new construction, they use concrete holding tanks or plastic or both?
Both.
Both. And what would your recommendation be?
It depends on the site situation. There's nothing wrong with either one of them. They both operate comparably. They both have a comparable lifespan. So, I mean, it all depends on what the application is and what the access to the site is.
All right. So that would determine the holding tank on the system. And most are, in the first half of the show, you talked about how most systems are a sand mound system these days.
Correct.
Okay. So things have changed. We talked on the break a little bit about, but we stopped our discussion, so we saved it for the radio. What did we want to talk about, Pat?
Yes. Well, years and years ago, I used to work on the honey truck, as we called it, down Sucknow, Cesspools, and Breezy Point. And my dad religiously uses Britex in his cesspool. Now, is that good or bad for a septic system?
Well, for a septic system, tank treatments are not good. But when you're dealing with a cesspool, yeast, Ridex, system helpers, tank activators, those things are useful when it comes to a cesspool specifically.
How does it work on the cesspool? We were talking about it real quick.
In a cesspool, like I said before, a cesspool system does not have a filter or AKA a septic tank before the drainage area. A cesspool has to contain the solids inside the ring and allow the effluent to pass out through the ring so that that water can be absorbed and treated by the soil on the outside of the ring. The point of the Ridex and the tank activators and the yeast is to try to break up some of those solids that are inside that ring so that that water can continue to go outside the ring into the usable soils on the outside.
All right, so never use it in a septic system.
No, you don't want to use it in an in-ground system or in a sand mound system.
So in a cesspool, your father, I know, likes to conserve water and minimal water usage, My long, hot, steamy showers would not take place in your dance.
You better not be listening. That's all I got to say. We're in trouble.
How about on a septic system? Do you have to conserve your water usage? Do you have to watch what you do? How many loads of laundry you do? How many times you run the dishwasher? Should you have a dishwasher? Should you have a garbage disposal? Those types of things.
All of those items, it all depends on what the capability of the drainage is. When we were speaking previously, he said that his father fears the amount of water that's being used in the cesspool because he doesn't know what the cesspool is going to handle. But he said that when he inspects it periodically, that the cesspool is always dry. It's always empty. If he is in an area that has incredible drainage, that water conservation really isn't something that he really needs to be as worried about as what he is. And it's the same with an in-ground drain field. You can have an in-ground drain field that the soils below the drain field are not ideal, where that cannot handle as much water as drain fields that are over more permeable soils, loamier soils, sandy soils. It all depends on the system itself and what its potential for drainage is. That kind of takes into hand on how much water you need to be thinking about using or restricting.
You were talking about sand mounds before on the break real quick, and you talked about how you're never supposed to drive on them. What were you saying?
Park on them, drive on them.
Right. We've heard all of these caveats from people. So what would you say?
Do you have to be concerned that they're going to?
I would definitely never park on a sand mound or clip the bottom edge of it with like a snow plow if they're cleaning the driveway. The mound is made up in layers, and all of those layers need to stay situated where they are. And at the top of the mound, not far below surface, is a network of pressurized piping. With that pressurized piping being not that far below the surface, it's really not a good idea to have any heavy traffic or any big like farm equipment or tractors or cars, trucks, anything else of that nature. It's not good to have those things being parked on top of a mound.
What, would it compact the soil, or could it possibly break the pipes?
It could possibly break the pipes.
Okay.
And or compact the soil.
Do you have to worry about sand mounds ever collapsing?
No, they don't. No, that really shouldn't be a concern, no.
No. Okay, so how about landscaping? Should people landscape around their sand mound? Is that something that's
items,
should or shouldn't?
Items that have an extremely low root system can be placed around the mound. It's usually more ideal to leave the sand mound having just grass growing and maintaining that lawn. So if the mound does start to slow down and you do see signs of the lush vegetation, if you see different spots that are starting to turn greener and growing heavier than other spots, you can. That is an issue that is arising. And if you catch it early enough, you can fix that extremely economically in comparison to waiting until the whole mound is destroyed.
Okay, what are some of the do's and don'ts of having a septic system? Garbage disposal?
Garbage disposals aren't necessarily as bad as what people think they are. A septic tank is a filter. It's designed to catch all the garbage and let the cleanest water possible go over into the next component where it'll get its drainage, its treatment, its clarification. With that tank being a filter, whatever leaves the home that is not water is going to get caught inside that tank. So if you use a garbage disposal and you're using it every single day and putting full turkeys down it, you're going to have to pump the tank a lot more often than if that's not the case.
Well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But you can't. I mean, there's some people that really think you can't have a garbage disposal if you have a septic system.
Yeah, no, there's no major problems with having the garbage disposal. It just makes it where the system is going to need more maintenance compared to one that does not.
Okay. And then in the first half of the show, you talked about that people should pump out their systems between 2 and 5 years. And a septic company should be the one servicing the system.
Correct. It should be a certified, experienced company. Because the other thing that you're depending on is not only that tank being emptied, but you need the experience of the inspection. A good company, once they empty the tank, they're going to inspect your inlet baffle, inspect your outlet baffle, inspect the water levels inside the tank, determine what type of materials are in the tank and what should be there and what shouldn't be there. Take a look at the drain field, see what type of shape that the drain field's in. They'll take into hand automatically where the groundwater's going and if groundwater is becoming a conflict with the system. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they can really give you tips and pointers and heads up on where you can catch these items before it turns into a major situation with the septic system.
So you go to a property to service the septic system, and the homeowner greets you and meets you and says that they have no idea where their septic system is. Do you come across that?
Usually we know about that over the phone. When somebody calls in and makes the initial order, there's a long range of questions that we ask them in order to give them an accurate price. And in that listing of questions is, are the lids or the lid accessible? And if they have no idea, we ask them the age of the dwelling. The age of the dwelling, we'll ask them if there's ever been anything done to the system in the past. And if they say no, then we know mainly what type of system it's going to be that is there and how many lids it is that they're going to need in order to receive the service that they're looking for. And if they have absolutely no idea where the system is, then we go out ahead of time and we locate the tank, tell them how far under the ground it is. We can mark where the lid is so that they can uncover the lid, or else we could provide them with a price for us to do the digging and have it all ready to be serviced.
My friend has a vacation home up in the country, and it's very old. And I says, have you ever had the septic serviced? And he said, no. And he has no idea where it is because it was his father and his father's gone. So, but everything's working.
Yeah, until it doesn't.
Until it doesn't. If it collapses, I guess he'll find out where it is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my. So, you know, I've come across people that have the plans from their from when the house was built, and they could show you on a map there are different locations of different holding tanks. Is that unusual? Like when you have a property and you have three or four holding tanks in various areas of the side yard?
It's not as common, but it's not uncommon. I mean, you do run into that. You run into properties that'll have a gray water system on one side of the property and a septic system on the other, or they had one septic system and then they built an addition on the home and it was easier just to put in another system on the opposite side of the house. I mean, you do run into homes that have multiple treatment units on the property.
When you run into a house that had a steel holding tank or a metal holding tank, how often do they have to be replaced?
Most metal tanks that you run into today are not in that good a shape at all. They stopped putting those tanks in the 70s, and those tanks had a lifespan of 25 to 30 years. So the majority of them that you come across are not going to be in the best of shape.
So most would have to be replaced.
Correct.
All right. And so what happens with those over the course of time? They break down, they decay.
Yeah, with them being made of metal, they rust. They rust. Break down, they deteriorate. And then, you know, if let go too long, they get to the point where they end up collapsing.
So a way to avoid all that is to make sure that you maintain your property and have a, is it an annual inspection or how
no,
often?
Annual's not really necessary. Like I said, a maximum of 5 years.
Okay.
You know, but like I said, if you're dealing with a home with 6-7 people, every year is not something that is unfathomable.
Okay. So stay on it, maintain it, and have a professional come in, certified professional come in, qualified professional, look things over, and then you avoid disasters in the long run.
Absolutely.
Okay. Eric Butler, Operations Manager, Butler Septic Services out of Jefferson Township. Your contact information, please.
We can be reached at our toll-free line on 1-888-873-9243. Our local line is 570-689-2952. You can visit us on Facebook at Butler's Environmental, or you can reach us by email at Butler Family Companies, spelled out IES, at Outlook.com.
Thanks, Eric. Would you come back next week so we could talk more about septic systems?
I'll be looking forward to it.
Thank you, Pat.
Yes, we have an extremely well-maintained three-bedroom, two-bath home at 145 West Swinnick Drive in Dunmore for $275,000. This beautiful home has a two-car garage, central air conditioning, a large family room, lots of closet space, and a private backyard with an above-ground pool. The roof was replaced in 2012. It has an updated gas furnace with three zones and beautiful landscaping. That's a beautiful three-bedroom, two-bath home in the Swinnick development in Dunmore at 145 West Swinnick Drive for $275,000. And that's listed by Nick Lawler of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.